Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, hey, you're listening to Eat Your Words on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. It's a cold Sunday in Brooklyn, and we're talking with a couple of experts to discuss a certain trend in the food world. It is not in a book of its own just yet, but I think there is one book coming out on this trend, and it has been documented in many magazine articles, newspapers such as The Times. It has been raved about by several celebrities, including Gwyneth Paltrow and the likes of others, and it has to do with coffee. It is called the Bulletproof coffee trend. I drank some this morning, and I'm still drinking it, so I might be more intelligent, but so far it's not seeming to be the case. So we've got a couple of experts. So we, on the one hand, we have a nutritionist, Stephanie Middleberg. Thanks so much for joining
us. Hi, happy to be here.
Thanks. Stephanie is the founder of Middleberg Nutrition, which is in New York City, and you can check it out at middlebergnutrition.com. Also see many of her quotes in magazine articles here and there.
Yep.
We've got Amanda Witt. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Thanks. Amanda is a genius mixologist who makes coffee cocktails at Amor y Amargo, means love and bitters.
Yes.
In the East Village, and also the barista at Box Kite Coffee Shop in the East Village as well.
Yes.
Cool. Okay, so what do you guys think? I know that's a big question, but have you tried it?
Yeah. Well, I get this as a nutritionist. I've gotten this question a lot. Well, you know, some from clients, but also from the media, because it is now so much.
It's so big.
It's so big. Yeah. So definitely, I always want to experiment with things when I try it. And the taste wise, when you do it right, when you actually blend it, it tastes good. I mean, it tastes.
Much of the buzz I hear is that it tastes great. You know.
So, but it, you know, it really depends on how you blend it and the quality of ingredients. But in terms of, and I understand it from the energy point and the mental clarity aspect of it, because essentially it's like a slow release coffee.
Okay.
So what comes up must come down, right? So you have the caffeine. You have the caffeine, so the big buzz from it, but with most people it just comes down and you get
a crash,
right? And so for many that leads to more hunger or sugar cravings.
Okay.
So the point of adding fat in the form of MCT oil or coconut oil and grass-fed butter is that it helps slow the release, the absorption of the caffeine, which is essentially you have a slower release of the caffeine, and it stays in your system longer.
Okay, so that's a basic idea. Yeah, that sounds more or less why it's so popular, dieting. Amanda, have you seen customers asking about this at the cottage?
I have had customers ask for it. The stock answer at the cafes that I've been working at in the past year when it's gained popularity has just been to say, if this is something you like and you enjoy drinking, go for it. Mm-hmm. It's not something that in our end of the industry we're very interested in providing at the cafe. It's a whole nother set of tools. It's a whole nother set of services. And it also tells a story about coffee in a way that is not necessarily contrary, but not doesn't really line up into the values and things that excite us about coffee as a beverage and as like a Goose to Trail experience.
Kind of it masks the taste, in my opinion.
Yes.
A lot. Right. And there's two schools of coffee drinkers, right? You have the purists who really love the coffee for the taste
and the origin and the roasting technique.
Right. And then you have those that drink it for the caffeine boost and add in, you know, lots of sugar and sweeteners and things of that nature.
Yeah, and that's a lot of the coffees that I work with are very origin focused, very processed focused, and that is not going to be something that's going to be complemented by turning into a, you know, a health shake, essentially.
Right.
So people do ask you, like, can you just put some butter in that? And
I've not had somebody literally ask me to put butter in it. I've had somebody say that they would go back to their hotel room and do it themselves.
Oh, their hotel room and do it themselves.
Yeah.
I see what kind of customer that is. Okay.
The hardcores carry the supplies with them.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And also in researching Asprey's site, he goes through a tutorial as to how to look for coffees when you cannot buy his coffee that he sells that will be lower in toxins and low mold coffees is what he calls them. This is interesting to me because, once again, this is not the way that we tend to think about coffees. Any coffee that's well processed, with the exception of a natural, which does have a fermentation element in drying the coffee inside of the cherry, because the coffee is a seed of a fruit, will be a low mold coffee because that's how you make a sanitary coffee. But, you know, when you use a word like mold, you're entering into an element of fear. Like, oh, what have I been drinking this whole time? Is it really toxic to me?
Yeah,
right. Because he says, and this
is the founder of this trend, the bulletproof coffee, Asprey.
Right. Yeah. And I think one of what he says, one of his claims is that 70% of coffee beans are toxic or have high molds. But it's interesting to hear that that's not the case.
Yeah. I mean, not within the specialty realm.
Yeah.
There is definitely going to be some element of, you know, molds are a defect that we cup for when we cup for a quality coffee.
Okay.
You know, molds and other types of blights are a thing that we are cupping and doing a lot of quality control for before the coffee gets across the counter at, you know, at a good like a quality focused cafe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's taken care of in your hands.
Yes.
It does raise that question, that fear factor of like, what am I drinking? And he's very particular about this diet because it has to be grass-fed butter.
Right.
That's kind of...
Well, in a way, it's good because I'm all for quality of ingredients because there's a big difference between just normal butter and grass-fed. So that's a part that I actually like, is bringing tension, just like you have to good quality coffee and not just any generic, and there's a big difference. So especially with the grass-fed butter, you're going to get a lot more nutrients, and it's going to have a lot more omegas. It's going to have conjugated linoleic acid, which essentially it has there's lots of antioxidants in it within that. So fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K. So it's good that he encourages more strict guidelines upon it.
I think that's a great takeaway just for butter's sake.
Yeah, no, exactly. If anything, that's a good quality, exactly. And to look, it's hard. I mean, and to find grass-fed butter is actually not easy to find.
I hear that they're flying off the shelves.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the taste-wise, it's better too, in my opinion.
It has a creamier taste, and it has a more of a tan look to it, tone, because of the
beta-carotenes.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Stephanie.
So I progress with butter.
But, in terms of the energy levels, I just drank it. I'm still drinking it. My mouth feels really gross and, like, coated with oils because it is. I'm starting to feel a little nauseous. Mm-hmm. Is that something that's supposed to happen?
No, that's pretty... For some people, they need... Well, I think, again, with anything you try, there's going to be people that swear by it and feel great. And then there's people who feel terrible, right? Everyone's biochemistry is different.
It's like 2 tablespoons of butter and then a lot of MCT oil, which we should get into. So it's like half, fat.
It's at least 50 grams of fat that you're guzzling at once. So some people recommend, if you were to do it, to start slow. Which you did not do, which would be maybe a tablespoon and then leave out the oil at first.
I don't eat a lot of butter. I don't usually have it,
Right, so your system's not used to it, especially at the speed that it's coming. So a lot of people actually have feel nauseous, have a sore stomach.
That's why the recipe alone looks crazy. I don't put that much milk in my coffee. I always put milk, but like not 3 tablespoons.
Yeah.
Right.
I think this was a big question that I've been wondering too is, why butter instead of milk?
Yeah.
That's actually a good question in terms of the recipe for it.
Or cream?
Because, I mean, good butter is just churned
sweet cream.
Right, exactly. So it probably has to do with some more of the health benefits versus the milk, I would assume, or the flavor.
Okay.
Right? Because a lot of it has to do with both, so.
Yeah, because I personally find milk to be delicious and am, you know, lucky to have a very easy time digesting it. So for me, when I look at something like the Bulletproof Coffee, I'm like, well, why not just use a really good, rich whole milk or maybe even, you know, a half and half? And I was just wondering if you would extrapolate the nutritional differences between milk versus butter.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do think it has to do with the condrolytic linoleic acid. I think, at least for his point, because this has been going on. It's not nothing new, but his formulation is new.
Okay, so like Tibetan butter teas,
right,
not new.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, that's something that I actually would be curious as to know why the butter instead of the milk.
Yeah, so I mean, I was thinking about this, and there's been so many coffee trends over the years, and on a mass scale, it seems like black has been really in lately. Like, the super purists might look down on people adding milk to coffee, but this is taking a whole new direction.
I mean, honestly, the black coffee and the purist thing is something that people have very much calmed down on in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
But there will always, whenever there is a trend, there will be a period of dissimulation, and then there will be people who will kind of hold on to it, you know, and take that because it's when they started, that was the thing that was different to them. That was the thing that set it apart. And so there's definitely, you see a lot of backlash, not even just with things like Bulletproof Coffee, which is definitely more of a diet, you know, in the diet world, in the biohacking world. Mm-hmm. Which is their buzzword for it. But also, you see a lot of cafes, Boxkite, where I work, Everyman Espresso, former employer of mine. We've all collaborated on making coffees that involved non-traditional ingredients.
Cool.
So
yeah.
It's...
You guys could do some really cool stuff.
Yeah, so it's definitely Anna Moria Margo, all part of a larger group of people saying, you know, you can add things other than milk to coffee. I just don't know if butter's it.
Bitters, maybe, but butters.
And I think, you know, listen, saturated fat has been, we now know, like, attacked unfairly. So it's definitely, butter is making, and coconut oil is making a huge comeback that it doesn't lead to heart disease. Like,
I think that's part of it.
That's definitely part of it. So it's been jumping on this bandwagon. But the problem is that we just still don't know how much and how often is still okay,
it's
and
so
that's
extreme.
A quantity issue.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that we still all really need to figure out. And if you're putting that much also in the morning, how much of saturated fat are you having the rest of the day?
Right.
Right? And so it's a lot of context, and it's a lot of amounts that I think are really important.
Adjust your whole diet. I mean, so the butter tea from Himalayan, I don't know, Tibetan culture.
Yeah.
Like, this was, you know, I understand it to be, you know, something for long treks, something where you need a lot
high
of
altitudes.
Endurance, high altitudes, extreme
cold
climates.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was very specific.
Right. And our bodies aren't obviously meant at this point to consume that amount.
Yeah.
And we're not in the same environment.
And also, this is coffee. So I have to wonder why coffee? Like, why did it have to be coffee? It could have been just a butter shake. Maybe some crazy other chemicals. What do you think, Amanda?
I really think that the addition of coffee was very much a cultural one. And it was a lot about the branding and the identity of coffee, especially in that startup world, as being, this is how I'm going to motor myself through all of my goals.
Yes.
And succeed in all of my
great attack
adventures. And attack the day and get that seed capital. And coffee, you know, very much holds on to that narrative.
Right.
And so I think that was very much when you want to biohack. It's like, why not biohack your coffee? Because that's that's already going to be your power source.
Right. So instead of those boosts or whatever those things are, those packets or little like, I don't know what they
5-hour energy.
Yeah. It looks like a candy in the convenience store. All right. We're going to cut to a quick little commercial break. We'll be right back chatting more with these brilliant people.
You are listening to Wild Hearts by Remy De La Roque.
Pulling your face out deep and I dive in an ocean of love. So blue in your eyes, washing my heart in you. I rise like a mushroom, an atom, a cloud, a burning circle of life. No one, no one, no one seems to know.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
This is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
All right, we're back chatting more with Amanda Witt and Stephanie Middleberg. About the bulletproof coffee trend. First of all, that name is kind of hilarious, and it reeks to me of like hack trend.
Marketing.
Is this just a total hack, this guy and this diet? What do you think? Well, you see, Stephanie, yeah. You must see a lot of trends come and go.
Yeah, I do.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, no, I mean... listen, I'm a fan. If you break it down, I'm a fan of coffee. I'm a fan of coconut oil and grass-fed butter.
Yeah,
separately, great. Okay. But I do have some nutritional concerns with it. And the fact is also the basis of this is that it replaces your breakfast as a healthy breakfast.
That is crazy,
right? And so the problem is that it's really deficient in a lot of nutrients. Like, yes, you're getting some omegas and some fat soluble vitamins, but you don't have any protein or fibers or any other vitamins and minerals that come from a balanced diet, right?
Except for the good stuff in the grass fed butter, maybe.
Right, exactly.
But it's not a breakfast. I'm sorry, I like to eat, so I'm never gonna replace a meal with
right. And it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort to keep up. So something that you actually have to, you're not really necessarily integrated into your everyday. So something that you really make an effort to go on, you're going to go off of pretty quickly.
Right. So it's not like a mindless Weight Watchers shake.
Right. Right.
Whatever they make these days, Soylent.
Oh, God, yes. And again, like we said, like the concerns, if we just don't know how much of anything we really need of the fat content. So it's definitely going to be on trend, and I think this is going to come and go pretty quickly, just like the name Bullet.
Amanda, do coffee folks hate this and sneer at it, or do they see it as a way to kind of invite more interest in coffee?
So I don't necessarily think that, especially the way the trends lined up, where somebody is marketing a coffee based on some frankly very strange sets of data about coffee's toxicity.
Yeah.
I think mostly, to be honest, it's really hard for anybody who comes in and has a lot of kind of feelings about their dietary needs within coffee, especially because, coffee from our perspective is a luxury item. So it's sometimes really hard not to roll your eyes when somebody has decided that they are going to form a new set of rules about how they are going to consume this thing and that you need to make sure that you adhere to those.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's like, you don't know if a month later they're not going to care anymore.
Right.
So,
yeah. And, so again, on trends, this is just kind of another band high fat, low carb diet.
It is.
Which we
You're
know.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, which we
Atkins-esque, yeah. You know, paleo-esque, like all these fat.
Yeah, it's paleo on speed. And, you know, what we know is with that it's going to work in the short term. And if you follow anything, it's going to work immediately. But mm-hmm. it's the long term that won't work, unfortunately.
Yeah. And it's definitely a struggle, too, as a woman and at the coffee shop, because it is a luxury item, you do tend to have a lot of conversations with people where they are really trying to wrestle between wanting to have a beverage that they enjoy and feel like having something that they can enjoy without guilt. Mm-hmm. So, and then trying to kind of persuade them that, you know, it's okay sometimes. It's okay to eat the fat or drink the fat. So maybe on one hand, I am glad that this is out there mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. people be a little yeah. less just phobic of the word fat.
I agree. That's what I see as a big pro, the, yeah. the quality, and that it does, there's still a lot of fat phobia. There's still a lot of people quite used to getting their coffee with skim milk and Splenda. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice when people will start eating real fat again, and that's huge. So
yeah.
if those are two pros that come out of it, I think that's great. And I think also it's 450 calories. So people Oops. To be aware of, which is like, no, but that's actually okay, right? I mean, so many people under eat in the morning.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right? So they, you know, and then end up
something in the morning,
yeah.
And then
end up overeating at night.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because right. they're so hungry and kept themselves on this cycle. So, I mean, it's kind of also bringing back this notion that you get a lot more energy when you have a satisfying breakfast that has some fat in it and not much sugar.
What happened to oatmeal?
I'm pro oatmeal, too. So. Cool. But that's the thing. I mean, I would never recommend this every day, but uh-huh. if you enjoy it and want to include it here and there, go for
it. Like if you're going to go on a hike in the Himalayas.
Right.
Even just to a lot of commuting, you know, going up and down the stairs in Midtown.
Well, okay, so you said that coffee is like a luxury, and that really clicked in me because, like, I've been trying to explain, like, the struggle between what I see coffee as and this trend, and coffee to me is that, like, that cream on the top. It's the frills, not the substance.
Mm-hmm.
It's something to savor and enjoy and appreciate, like mm-hmm. a fine wine. Mm-hmm. And this is, like, saying that it's, like, this sustenance, you know, very utilitarian thing, and I don't respond to that as much.
Yeah.
And I would think that detracts from all that coffee can be. And but, yeah, here we are.
Yeah, it takes, I mean, you know, it takes pleasure away from food, right? So you're just focused on the elements of what
mm-hmm.
you're eating. So it breaks it down in a different way than just the pleasure. And I work with clients so much to bring that pleasure, not just to follow rule books or,
right.
you know,
there's something about how audacious this trend is, too, that I think that has caught a lot of attention mm-hmm. and people just feeling really excited mm-hmm. on the one hand or really grossed out or something.
Yeah. But I feel if there wasn't that amount of people that were grossed out, there wouldn't be those people. Those people are really excited and really want to adhere to it, kind of love that factor of doing something that might be a little icky mm-hmm. to others or just might seem a little daring or a little weird.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't feel very good right now. But getting on to, so I added coconut oil to my formula
right.
because that is a medium chain triglyceride.
Yeah, exactly.
Haspri calls for his own brand of MCT oil, which right. is medium chain triglyceride.
Right.
What is the difference between that stuff, which you can get at a health food store like MCT oil, and a naturally occurring MCT oil like coconut?
I just think it's same thing as I said, like on speed. Like I just think it's a much more powerful. He says it's on his website. It's 18 times stronger than what you can get
Do
naturally.
You need that?
No, listen. I think the majority of
I think I'm fine with the whole tablespoon of
coconut
oil.
Yeah, exactly. Cold pressed, virgin, the good quality stuff. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. I mean, that's how I make it, and that's how I know most of my friends would make it, and
cool.
I think that's perfectly fine. You're still getting a lot of nutrition from coconut oil, because coconut oil is another thing that is great that's been back in
yes,
the health scene.
Yes, because people are afraid of saturated fats, but yes,
right. yeah.
it's tasty.
It's
but what
love
is
some
a,
coconut oil.
Yeah?
Like to eat it, like to use it as conditioner.
Yeah. it's great.
Very versatile.
Oh my god. I heard like so many things about it. You can use it as a wash, mouthwash.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That actually, have you ever done that?
No.
You rinse, it's called oil pulling, which is...
But it's solid. How do I...
You slush it, and then it becomes liquid. Your mouth is warm.
It sounds gross.
But actually, you do it, and then you your mouth feels remarkably clean. That you should try. Okay. Don't swallow it. You spit it out.
Since you said that?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm into it.
Right.
And it's a natural thing. I know what coconut oil is. I don't know about MCT and other stuff.
But it really naturally whitens your teeth and makes your mouth feel clean. So.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Let's try it.
What is MCT? What is medium chain triglycerides? And why all of a sudden, like, all this, like, buzz around it? Like, are we not eating it normally in our diet or enough of it?
Well, I don't think it's something that he's necessarily saying we're deficient in.
Mm.
I think
all the spotlight on it, I'm like, what is this?
Right. Well, because what he's saying that it's... not being stored as fat and is being metabolized to increase your metabolism and boost energy versus long chain.
What is long chain?
That's going to be like there's all these inflammatory oils that are going to be like safflower oil, sunflower oil, soybean oil, and things like that.
Oh, so he's saying like,
right. Yeah, exactly. So it's a lot of part of our American diet that have a lot of poor oils.
Sure.
That are coming about. So this is definitely one that he is that, gets that he's saying doesn't get stored and gets.
What's another example of medium chain triglycerides beyond coconut? Is there any that you know of? Peanut butter? I don't know.
No, because that's an unsaturated
that is
oh. fat, the nuts.
Okay.
So we're not getting into
I don't know enough of
it. into the saturated fats. But that's where he's really saying like his form of the MCT oil is I think he calls it brain octane.
Yeah.
Right?
Gross.
So it's just if you feel weird with that amount of the coconut oil, imagine something that's 18 times.
A lot
stronger.
Of very weaponized language in his
yes. Right. I mean, that's... I know.
I
think
so
that's where
bitch.
He's really saying that it's kind of like boosting his metabolism and
yeah. I'm fast.
And increasing, his... His energy.
It sounds like the goals of this diet are just not even what I'm, like, interested in. So.
Right. It's like... Well, it's very technical.
Mm-hmm.
Right? when you break it down. So, and I could see it's very techie.
Yeah.
It reminded me of reading a comic book. They're like, we're going to build a super soldier. He's like, I'm going to increase my mitochondria.
Right.
And talks
right.
about them like they're fighters. You
right.
know, it's amazing. I read a lot of the copy. It's really good.
Yes.
It's interesting.
The website
and
is crazy.
The website's crazy. And no, but he talks and you want to become a believer.
Mm-hmm.
But this
is like a type A, like, fuel.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to take over the world. But at the end of the day, I think it's a little, we don't know the science behind it. And I think
really?
Some of that is, yeah, we're still very
we're
skeptical
still seeing
about
it. And seeing how... It works out with people.
Exactly. So, I think with any of this, only time will tell. And with any food in the diet world right now, you could find anything you argue, you could find pros and cons against,
mm-hmm.
even kale, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So there's two sides to every food out there right
mm-hmm.
now and probably every diet trend. And there's so many studies aren't perfect. So we kind of just have to take the information that we read and if it makes sense or take parts of it that we feel that we can implement and might enjoy, then
like
that's great.
Butter, yeah.
Exactly.
Mm.
But otherwise... to follow something 100% or to do something every day as the new magic thing is, we're just going to learn that that's going to be bad for you.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good way of putting it. And that leads me to my last question, which is, what is the oncoming...
brain fog.
I'm like
doing
brain
the opposite.
Fail. What is the next big trend in your industries?
That's a good question.
You go.
Me? It's so interesting because since the new year, right, it's been this bulletproof.
What is,
right?
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, just what's in the news. It's been
right.
activated charcoal has been around
what?
In the news as something very trendy. Sea vegetables, I think, are another great
thing.
Love that. Yeah, that I don't think is out there.
Cool.
Enough right now.
I'm into it.
Yeah, and I sort of think we're going to see much more about fat and grass-fed products overall.
Yeah,
I do.
All right.
Yeah,
Amanda, what do you think?
For me, I mean, full disclosure, this is the programs that I work in, but definitely coffee in non-traditional settings. So coffee in the cocktail world and coffee, you know, being improved amongst restaurants and being served in non-traditional locations, especially in New York where mixed-use spaces are becoming more popular. I think you're going to see a lot more cafes popping up in places where you wouldn't expect.
Mm, that sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Sounds like a creative time right now.
Oh, yeah. It's an exciting time.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. So, we'll have to see what happens with sea vegetables and pop-up shops. Maybe.
Yeah. If anybody wants to let me open up in the corner of their comic book shop, I'd love that.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for helping dissect this. And check out Stephanie Middleberg and your work, Amanda Witt. Say hello to her if you catch her. And thanks, everyone at Heritage. We'll see you next week on Eat Your Words.
The theme song for Eat Your Words is Lovin' Like This by the California Honey Drops. Oh.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.